This is the Blossom of Thought podcast, a podcast about the body, mind, and soul. And your host is Mpilo Kambule.
Today's episode publishes just a few days after the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., which is the 15th of January. So we've decided that we are going to do an anthological episode. We have reached out to various Africans from all over the world, and we asked them to share what they think were Dr. King's contribution to the struggle for justice, the struggle for humanity in this world. So we are grateful to these Africans that you'll be listening to in this episode. They are standing from all over the world paying homage to Dr. King. But we will begin with a short clip from Dr. King, which will be followed by Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, someone who knew Dr. King, who worked side by side with Dr. King in the 60s during the civil rights movement. So this is the episode that we've decided to do. We are grateful to the Africans for their contributions today, all the Africans that will be hearing in this episode.
I'm convinced that if we are to get on the right side of the world revolution, we as a nation must undergo a radical revolution of values. We must rapidly begin to shift from a thing-oriented society to a person-oriented society. When machines and computers, profit motives, and property rights are considered more important than people, the giant triplets of racism, militarism, and economic exploitation are incapable of being conquered. A true revolution of values will soon cause us to question the fairness and justice of many of our present policies.
If we want to learn anything about Martin Luther King, we must learn this. The struggle is not a one-day struggle. It's a struggle for life. His life record is a clear indication of the truth of this statement. King started to struggle for his people and never stopped until the bullet found him. And we are sure that when King died, the first thing he could say was, "I thank you, God, for letting me die in the hands of the service of my people." King was a preacher, but he was not a jag-legged preacher. King was a preacher, but he was a true Christian. Martin Luther King understood that to be a preacher didn't mean that you come to drive Cadillacs. Martin Luther King understood that to be a preacher didn't mean you come to make money. Martin Luther King understood that to be a preacher you came to be concerned about the poor. Martin Luther King understood what Christianity was. He wasn't no jack-leg preacher talking about no majority nonsense. King was a Christian. He came to give his life for the poor. He came to give his life for the wretched. He came to give his life for the downtrodden. King cannot be made a fact. No. If you truly love Martin Luther King, you must do like Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King is not different from any one of us. He's no different from a Fannie Lou Hamer. He's no different from a Rosa Parks. He's no different from a Sidney Washington, from a John Doe. He's like any one of us. The only difference is that he cares more about us than we care about ourselves.
I am Shukura Umi. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, colonized as Cherokee land. And I am so happy today to give some thoughts on the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I will start with saying that in order to know Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you have to start by understanding that he was a person of principle who, unlike so many of these so-called Christians today, he understood clearly that a dedication to God cannot be separated from a commitment to do what is right. This is regardless of the consequences. Had Dr. King lived longer than a mere 39 years, we certainly would have been able to witness him taking much more radical positions. King never got the opportunity to advance on all pertinent issues, but he clearly demonstrated the willingness to go against the grain on issues of principle. For example, against the urgings of the U.S. government leaders, King, who established a relationship with then Ghanaian President Kwame Nkrumah, upon Ghana's independence in March of 1957, King attended Ghana's independence ceremony. This developed a relationship with Nkrumah that evolved into a mentor-Nkrumah-mentee-King relationship. The U.S. government officials worked overtime to assassinate, overthrow, and discredit Nkrumah, and they pressured King to discontinue his relationship with Nkrumah. to which King refused. In fact, Nkrumah remained a confidant and mentor to King until King's assassination in 1968. When speaking on U.S. imperialism, King devoted time to numerous struggles with members of the infamous Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. This was around the Vietnam War and other such issues. He risked being the unpopular one to highlight the contradictions surrounding the war, much like other comrades we know of. King did see nonviolence as a valuable principle, and he began to adjust his thoughts on that principle and position over time. We believe that King was able to consistently see that this opposition was not practicing nonviolence with colonized people, so it begged the question, was this principle tactic truly effective? His expansion work in cities like Chicago supported his growing understanding that this problem was larger than racial segregation. Economic systems based on exploitation and oppression caused the problems people were facing. This understanding of capitalism, imperialism, became even more clear when King was invited by Kwame Nkrumah and went to Ghana in March 1957 with Coretta. King supported the Ghanaian struggles and drew comparisons on resisting colonialism on the continent and experiencing racism in the U.S. He also went just about to every bus boycott to help develop more of a Pan-Africanist lens in the planning of the bus boycotts so that more African people everywhere could understand that they were under attack, not just on the continent, but also in the diaspora. And my apologies, comrades, I should have mentioned when I introduced myself earlier that I am a proud member of a work-study circle that is a component of the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join an organization that is working for justice, and may we continue to carry out Dr. King's Pan-Africanist legacy. Ashe, and thank you.
My name is Sister Maxine. I live in England. It is my pleasure to pay tribute to the memory and legacy of our great ancestor, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. stands tall in world history as one of the foremost proponents of liberation theology in the 20th century. Liberation theology as a movement is identified as emerging in the late 1960s and early 1970s in Latin America. However, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. must be recognized as one of the early 20th century proponents of the need for theology and the institution of the Christian Church to focus on the liberation of the oppressed. Our great ancestor was clear that in order to do so, the Church has an obligation to engage in socioeconomic analysis and address all forms of inequality. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. preached the equality of all people, the end to wage exploitation and poverty in Black communities, and the right to vote for Black people living in apartheid America. Whilst Dr. Martin Luther King is mostly remembered by the capitalist, racist, exploitative system for his adherence to nonviolence, this minimizes his radical ideological contribution to the reconceptualization of God as actively involved in the world on the side of the oppressed. His great oratory skills, moral fortitude, and organizing abilities allowed him, alongside others, to build the civil rights movement as a liberation vehicle. Central to the civil rights movement was the role of many African American women who stood side by side with Dr. Martin Luther King, but for decades have been written out of history. It is said, you can kill the man, but you cannot kill his ideas. The memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. remains alive today. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we remember you as a modern day spirit medium, drawing on the contributions of great spirit mediums in Africa's history, such as Boya Nyanda of the Shona people in Zimbabwe. She was a medium of Nyanda, a female Shona on Ndoro, a powerful and respected ancestral spirit. She is remembered as the leader of the first Chimurenga, a revolt against the British colonialists in 1889, for which he was publicly executed by the British. In closing, great ancestor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we remember you as a great spirit medium of our sisters and brothers marooned in occupied America. We thank you for sacrificing your life to progress the liberation of African people in America. Your message of redemption through liberation is a universal one. We will continue the struggle for one unified socialist Africa in your name. Give thanks.
My name is Inemesit Richardson. I live in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, or as it's called in the Moré language, Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his most important contribution and also his most understated or downplayed contribution in the mainstream sort of imagination or construction of his legacy within the U.S., or emerging from the U.S., is his very clear anti-imperialism. So Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Was very clear on his opposition to the United States Empire. He came to understand, and I think, you know, the later and later in his life, he came to understand even more and more profoundly how important it is to address this fundamental problem or contradiction of imperialism. So he has the speech, "Why I Oppose the War on Vietnam," which is one of the most, you know, his most clearly articulated anti-imperialist position comes out of this. And many people also note that he was assassinated shortly after this particular moment. He also forged connections with leaders on the African continent, including revolutionary Pan-Africanists. So MLK did go to Ghana. He visited Ghana and he met Kwame Nkrumah, the Asajjfo Kwame, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who is, you know, like, he's one of one of the fathers of Pan-Africanism. There's people say that, you know, he brought Pan-Africanism home in the sense of creating the first actually Pan-African state on the African continent in practice. So, you know, he met with Kwame Nkrumah in Ghana during that era of the, you know, the Nkrumah era at the time. And, you know, while in the United States as well, he met other anti-colonial leaders in the African continent. And he spoke about how, you know, this connection between Africa and Africans in the United States. So he talked about how, you, based on his experience in Africa, the people of Africa do have an interest in the struggles that are being waged within the U.S. And so he was able to bring that analysis back with him to the United States to strengthen that connection. So I would say that his anti-imperialism, as well as his connections to the African continent, are two things that I think that he is not sufficiently appreciated for.
My name's Asari St. Hill. I'm based in London, England. My tribute to Martin Luther King starts with the journey of the Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King story, which is the story of many of us. As a young person growing up in London in the 1980s, we found Malcolm X very appealing. Martin Luther King seemed a softer individual, until I read the book, Why We Can't Wait, which I thought was a fantastic book that set out the moral and a strategic case for the civil rights struggle. That non-violence was, yes, he said it was a principle, where I believe it's only a tactic, but nevertheless, it was a compelling case for non-violence resistance. And at the time, that was very revolutionary and cost many people their lives. Martin Luther King was willing to go to jail and even willing to die, which he paid the ultimate price for his people. He was always an honest man. It directly led to the Civil Rights Act, the work of Dr. King, and the marches, and equal voting rights for African Americans for the first time, and also ended discrimination against women and others as well. So But the thing with Martin Luther King is he also traveled to Ghana in 1957. Many people don't know that. He met Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah had a positive action campaign in Ghana that led to the independence and the transfer of power in Ghana. So he was very influenced by that. He also talked about us having African blood, and he saw the connection to link the struggle in Africa to the link to the racism in the United States. So this was somebody who also was prepared to work with more radical, more progressive organizations like SNCC. And of course, he also had the famous picture where he met Martin Luther King and met Malcolm X. But certainly he worked with SNCC, people like Kwame Ture, and he marched with them. And in later life, he also made that profound statement about Vietnam. You know, we won't study war no more, his famous speech against the Vietnam War that put him in direct conflict with the American government. So Martin Luther King's legacy is broad. It's not just in America, but also beyond. And positive action remains a tactic that we can use to this day if we want to move places forward in our struggle. So we should always remember Martin Luther King, of one of our great soldiers.
My name is Imani Naumoja. I live in Guinea-Bissau, but I'm sending this message to you from Azania, South Africa, where I'm participating in the African Continent Conference in solidarity with Cuba. The inspiration of Martin Luther King on African humanity cannot really be summed up in a few minutes, but we can make our modest contribution to say that Martin Luther King Jr. inspires a lot of Africans as well as humanity. Here in Africa, we have a lot of streets named after Martin Luther King in many countries that we have had the opportunity to go through. There are schools named after him, associations named after him, because for many people, including us, Martin Luther King is a symbol of resistance. He taught us to be courageous, to have courage to lose fear when we confront the enemy without fear. Not only fear against the race, not have fear against just the racists, not just against capitalism, not just against violence, but imperialism. If you analyze his presentations, his speeches, and particularly the last speeches, the last years of his life, when he began to talk about beyond Vietnam, about making a radical redistribution of wealth, about the United States being the most violent country in the world. Right inside the belly beast, he told us that because he was honest. So he's a symbol of honesty for us. He shows us how to be honest, to develop our consciousness, to move all the time forward. For example, at one time, Martin King, most of his struggles were like in the southern part of the U.S., but then he began to move to the north, to Chicago and all of this, and then he moved beyond the United States. You know that he participated in the inauguration and the inauguration and the proclamation of independence of Ghana on March 6, 1957, when he was a very young man. And he saw organization there. Even though he was more dominated by mobilization, which was a fact, he began to see the importance of having permanent organization. He saw that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So for many Africans, he's a symbol of that courage and that honesty to have self-criticism and move beyond our own restricted boundaries. If you analyze the last presentation of Martin King, you saw that he said that I'm happy to be able to live in this time in life where we see people rising up all over the world, Nairobi, Kenya, Zaire, South Africa. He gave speeches against apartheid back in the early 60s. He talked about we must fight with our comrades with Vietnam. So he helped to bring the victory of the National Front of Vietnam. So we can say that Martin Luther King still inspires us here in Africa and humanity, and so we must follow his example. So we challenge you also to follow this example, not just by speeches, but in practice. Ready for the revolution.
Hello, everyone. This is Comrade M from the All African People's Revolutionary Party in the UK. I'm here to talk about the contributions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose Memorial Day has just passed. Now, what can one say about the life of such a giant who has changed societies? As many of you know, Dr. King was a great organizer. As our teacher Kwame Ture said, he was a great mobilizer who could move thousands of people across the US in a struggle against its racist, fascist system of segregation and for the struggle of civil rights for African Americans. He was also a great proponent of nonviolent resistance. He's still considered as one of the foremost symbols of nonviolent resistance across the world. He was a radical theologian who brought Christianity back to its rightful roots of serving the oppressed masses. Now, it's very difficult to place someone like Dr. King in one place throughout his life because he was deeply connected with the people's struggles, and he evolved throughout his life. Towards the end of segregation, the struggle for segregation, he could see that the life of African Americans was getting difficult during integration. So he started organizing across different lines. He could see that the racist fascist system, which US used to terrorize African Americans inside its borders, it also projected across the world. Not just in the form of imperialist aggression, which he saw so clearly in the U.S. War of Aggression against Vietnam, which he organized against. He also saw it in the racist capitalist system, which U.S. was dominating. And this put him in stark contrast, and sometimes in deep opposition, against some of his own comrades, but also against powerful people like the US President Lyndon Johnson. But he was a man of great conviction. He never wavered from what he believed in to be right, and he struggled for what was always right. Looking at today's world, looking at the racist and fascist police murders of African Americans, looking at the state of Gaza, the Israeli aggression against Gaza, looking at the state of Africa, we can see that his struggle is still an ongoing struggle. And we have to carry it forward in his name and in his spirit. That's all for now. Thank you so much. Forward ever.
My name is John Trimble, and I live in occupied Azania in an area called Shawnee. I'm currently broadcasting from Montgomery, Alabama, and I wanted to say a few words about Dr. King. This is a place that holds him in high esteem. You know that this is where the bus boycott took place in Montgomery, Alabama, and the two noted people associated with that are Rosa Parks and Dr. King. We also know of his contribution in terms of the March on Washington, and everybody refers to his speech, "I Had a Dream." Another thing that's a point of interest here is the march from Selma to Montgomery. There actually is a trail, and it's many people who come and visit this area who reenact that moment. The two things that I want to point out that Dr. King significantly contributed. One, he inspired people. He was a very inspirational speaker, and the fact that he stood at the forefront when he organized and mobilized inspired people to know that they could stand up. Secondly, he was one of the greatest mobilizers of people. So he engaged in a number of activities that I mentioned, from the bus boycott to the March on Washington, where he was key in terms of organizing with a cadre of people to mobilize masses of people. There are also three points that people don't often reference. Is in the summer of 1966, he came up to Chicago and he helped mobilize people for the open housing marches, because he realized that the northern cities like Chicago and Detroit were even more segregated than the South. So he wanted to make a contribution beyond the South. Secondly, he was one of the first of noted activists to openly speak out against the war in Vietnam. He realized that this was an atrocity, and this was at a time when there was massive division within the country over the war. Thirdly, he went on to organize with the workers, sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee, and this is where he at a very young age was struck down. So just to point out that he was a key mobilizer and that he inspired people across the United States, but he inspired Africans even beyond the borders of the United States. Thank you.
My name is Dr. Jabulani Matsebula. I am from Swaziland, living in exile in Australia. I'm a human rights defender and political activist fighting for democracy, justice, equality, and better living standards for the people of Swaziland. This is my dream, to see my people free from oppression, injustice, hunger, and violence. Today, I joined multiple voices across the world, paying tribute to a larger-than-life man, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., for his massive contribution to global struggles for freedom. In his iconic speech, "I Have a Dream," Dr. King inspired generations of freedom fighters, human rights defenders, and scholars to challenge injustice. He gave the people of the world a precious gift to have a dream and vision for a better world. Most importantly, to have courage to fight and achieve their dream. Dr. King gave us the courage to dream and to fight. Living the Dream remains hugely influential in global struggles for human rights and political freedoms. In Swaziland, it is our dream to live as free people. It is our responsibility to fight and achieve this dream. Dr. King once said, "The time is always right to do what is right." Dr. King instilled the spirit of solidarity and encouraged the people of the world to stand up for the downtrodden. South Africa has just done that by bringing a case against Israel for its genocidal intent against the people of Palestine. That was the right thing to do. For me, this is the legacy of our Dr. King, a man who left a permanent mark in the history of world politics. Thank you, and long live the spirit of our Dr. King.